welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for the 19th of April, 2026. Already in April. It is interesting. The question today is really, really kind of insightful, and I admire this person, Jason. He does not tell me where he lives, but he definitely has a point of view here, and that's always fun for me to hear your point of view. He asked me, "It is painful to think of how much I think, and what I think, as you say, isn't very good. Can you please help me?" And then he goes into some other things, and we'll just keep it at that for now. First of all, Jason, give up the good, bad, right, wrong thing. That's the first thing. Your mind, like all of our minds, is always going to be tempted to go into evil. And so let me explain this to you, Lucy. There is a huge part of the collective unconscious that is evil, a huge part. This collective unconscious is the gathering of all of our thoughts and the way we are in consciousness, well, the lack thereof, how we are just generally speaking in the way we think, say, and do. It is the narrative of our life. And we don't want to think about this. We don't want to get involved in it because we don't want to think that we're the way we are. Most people don't want to be the way they are. They don't like themselves. And if you really look at yourself, you'll see you don't like you. And the effort for you is to try to talk yourself into all the alibis you can, conjecture, presumption, assumptions, things you manufacture in the workload of your ego to make yourself believe that, well, A, I'm really bad, or B, that I'm really good, or whatever. You can't go in between good and bad. The key to all of this is not to let good and bad be the essence of you. Not to be emotional or psychological in your decision-making to be pro or con. If you want to really get beyond your thoughts, which you can do, you're going to have to let go of right and wrong, good and bad. You're going to have to observe your thoughts and understand there is a witness. Who is the person watching your thoughts? Who is the person that gives in to the inclinations of your emotions that create thought? Now, psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you that our minds come first and emotions are second, but I disagree totally. What I have seen in my 53 years or so of being a teacher is simply that we are confounded by our own emotionality that comes from our body, that comes from a carcass that we live in that is ancient. We have things going on in our body that we know nothing about, and our body creates the emotionality that we suffer from all throughout our life. You are not just a Jason. You are more than that. You are, as a human being, you are just a handful of, well, more than that, but a handful, well, let's just say, of past experiences you can't remember and you don't understand. And they still live inside you, every event, circumstance, condition of not only this lifetime, but the many you've had prior to this are all in play. And people just don't want to believe that. I don't believe in this reincarnation, you know. And that's the way they think. And they don't want to know. And Jason, you probably don't want to know. The sad thing is your living has brought you to a life that exceeds your mental acuity. And that's the honest truth. Your mind can't think past itself. Your mind cannot see its own manufacturing of thoughts. and beliefs and ideals. It can't. It comes to conclusion and does this without your permission. It just does it. It's impulsive. And when we get it down into the impulse factor of it all, we become angry and hostile. We don't know why. I have students, no matter, for years I've been trying to help them with this. Years. And they just look at me like, I can't help it. It's too hard. And it's probably too hard for you, and you're not going to do this. But you asked, and you listened to me here on the podcast, so I have a kind of a pseudo-responsibility to you to answer your question and help you with it, even though my answer won't be something that you garner as being very valuable, and I understand that. I do. I don't take offense to it. You're going to live your life the way you're going to live your life. I have a saying with my students. This is the way they treat me. Greg, I know, but I'm going to do it anyway. Greg, I know, but I'm going to do it anyway. They've heard me for years talk to them about the state of their mind. They don't care. They think the state of their mind is fine. As long as they fit into some society and all of that, they try to ignore their evil inside. They just keep going the way they're going. They're angry. They're hostile. And I know what you're thinking. Well, why the hell do they do all this? Because I'm planting seeds. They can't understand the value of being with me. I am not one of them. I am realized, but I'm there to help them understand their realization and help them come to it on their own as I did. It took me years of work and practice and India and all that other stuff that I've done to really begin to understand how precious this life is and how it can be squandered away simply by our thoughts that make us feel indifferent to love. Because, Jason, the thing that is most important is see how you love, as the Buddha said, and what keeps you from your journey. See how you love, not how you think, how you love. He never said, see how you think. So even Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you don't think from your heart. You think from your body. You think from human impulse. And because of this, it makes it very difficult for you to understand the way, the insight, because there's no logic and reasoning to it. You can't enter into meditation looking through the eyes of logic and reasoning. It can't be done. You have to look at it from beyond the beyond. You have to look at it as something that is divine by nature. And that divinity that lives within you is not hostile. It is not accumulative in the sense of trying to get what comforts us and what we want over what we don't want. It is inclusive of love. It is love. You are love. But to try to teach you this is impossible because you're set in your ways and your mental acuity, which you use to decipher your life and decide what is good for you and bad for you, right and wrong, is too small to understand the bigger picture of life as love. You just can't do it. And that you are that life that is love. It just can't be done. So until you are ready to devote yourself to the means of the way of the heart, to live in the manner of the heart, to want love more than wanting what you think is love, you will simply be floundering around like a fish on the dock, not really understanding anything that is being said here. But nonetheless, keep listening. Something might click. You never know. You just never know. Thank you, Jason, for your beautiful question and for your kind comments about Aspire. I deeply appreciate it. I'm out of here for the week. We'll be back next week. Hope that I've answered some of your questions. And if you have any questions, you can reach me at greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend. And again, please forgive me. Namaste.